Coming up on TMS, calories don't count on birthdays.
25 footlongs in the office.
They are still not popular with the gays.
Five guys, five ding-dongs.
The Denver turd nuggets.
Be careful where you drive your balls.
Give me that thirsty gas.
Peter O'Toole is huge right now.
Pulling Robert Frost out of my butt.
Cold, stinky rain and spilled nachos for you.
When some Legos come along, you must brick it.
All right, I'll allow it. Just leave Iris in the mirror universe.
Send painted nudes.
Never forget Fat Larry.
Star Trek communications with Bill.
Building Satan's claw machine with Bobby and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
Hey, mister, you don't look so good. Hey, mister, you thirsty? Hey, mister, you thirsty?
They give me the gas.
The Morning Stream, the next best thing since sliced bread.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to TMS. It's the Morning Stream for Tuesday, August 2nd, 2022. I'm Scott Johnson with Brian Ibbett. Hi, Brian.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, man. It's Tuesday, and, you know, we gotta do a thing. Oh, it's not just Tuesday, everybody. Here, hold on. Oh, I was gonna set this up pre-show and I forgot. Hold on. Okay, watch this, everybody. Watch this. We're gonna celebrate.
Should
with
I watch
style.
The stream?
Yeah, you should. We're gonna celebrate with style, and I'm now going to play for everybody every short birthday clip I have.
Okay.
All right.
Oh, then I don't need to watch the stream. This isn't video. This is just audio.
It's not video. It's just audio. So here you go.
Okay.
So check this out right here.
All right. Okay.
We know this one. We're used to her. We know what's up with her. Here's another one.
I hope you have a very happy birthday.
That's Brian himself doing one of those. Here's another short one. I don't know what this is.
Happy birthday to you.
Oh, yeah. We love her. Classic. She's great.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. How about this one?
When's your birthday?
It's today.
It's today.
Yeah. How about this one? Hold on.
I can't believe this. They forgot my birthday.
No, we didn't.
Oh,
we got
poor
it.
Molly.
Yeah,
okay.
Poor Molly ringworm. And that was some kind of I don't know what that was.
Wow.
Brian, happy freaking birthday, man.
Thanks, woo! Man. Thanks.
Woo! Brian's older now, so that just means wisdom and
yeah, something. It means
prowess.
You know, muscles and joints and bones don't work as well as they used to. And
that's right. Officially on the birthday, that happens. One more joint will give out each birthday.
It does. Exactly. They're like you can actually hear it. It's like a thud sound.
Yeah. Thunk. And you're like, ah, man.
Exactly.
Well, I didn't need my left leg. Oh, it's fine.
Well, thank you very much. And thank
you, happy birthday,
Tadpool, for all of your kind words.
I'm so excited about my gift, but it got delayed and I'm annoyed. They changed the dates on me, and I'm like, you bastards. I thought I was going to get there on the day. Today should have been the day.
It's totally fine.
You'll still get it, and you'll love it, I hope.
Yeah, you know what? I actually prefer it, because, all right, well, I'll get, some stuff today. Actually got some stuff over the weekend. Got a really cool wallet from Tina over the weekend.
Oh.
This thing's like a cool little extra wallet, and, like, you push a button. Let's see if I do this right here. Nope, okay. You push a little button on the bottom, and it goes, bzzip. And all of your cards and things get kind of splayed out so you can pull the right one out.
Nice. Cool. Nice. Yeah. Pull the right one out. It's my favorite.
Pull the right one out. Japanese horror film.
Yeah, it was really good. Vampires and all that.
Getting stuff next week, it's like, oh, well, it's not just today, my birthday. It's all month.
Yeah, it's a month. It's a month of celebration, really.
It's a month of celebration. Let's celebrate August.
You know what I didn't know, though? I didn't know you shared the same birthday as my nephew, Luke, who we've met in Vegas a couple times. Yeah.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that either. Man, all the times we've talked to him and about him.
Yeah, it's never come up.
Watched him perform a couple of years ago at the...
Yeah. Always surprises me. I'm always like, oh, yeah, right. Luke's birthday is today. And I gotta call or text him or something. See how he's
Yeah, been. Totally. Also, Kevin Smith, exactly one year younger than me.
Nice. Kevin Smith still rocking it.
He's 52 today.
Yeah. Keeping it going, keeping it moving. Brian joins me in the 53 club, and
that's right.
You know, water's warm. It's nice in here.
Mary Louise Parker.
Yeah.
Edward Furlong.
Oh, Edward Furlong.
I'm trying to remember who else we've got.
He had a real easy time in Hollywood. No problems. Everything was great.
Exactly.
Anyone else? You got any other famous?
I remember seeing a bunch of other names today, but I can't remember who they were. Like it was, let's see, Peter O'Toole, I think. Because, you know, everybody cares about Peter O'Toole.
It's Peter O'Toole. He's hot. He's big with the kids.
He's, you know, he's big. Yeah, he's huge right now.
Yeah, Peter they O'Toole. Love that guy. Oh, here we go. I found a whole list. Let me.
All right.
Here's some obscure ones, too. So you share a birthday with Theodor Zwinger, the Swiss physician and scholar who was born in 1533 on this day.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, but good. He was famous for doing all kinds of cool stuff. So there's a guy. How about this one? Nicolas de Pagy, a French classical builder who was born in France this day in 1723. And then how about this one? Here's a good one. Oh, shit. Hold on.
How about music? I could tell you a few music ones.
Give me music.
Butch Vig, producer, garbage producer, produced Nevermind by Nirvana. Produced that album.
Produced a lot of garbage, right? Right.
Produced a lot of garbage. Yeah. Andrew Gold, he had that song, Oh, What a Lonely Boy, back in the 70s. There's a yacht rock classic.
Yeah, love that one.
Jim Capaldi, who was with the band Traffic. Mm-hmm. Drummer, singer, songwriter Jim Capaldi.
Nice. Nice. Not related to Peter Capaldi. No Peter Capaldi.
Not really. Okay. No relation whatsoever. Well, I don't know. Maybe. But yeah,
maybe they are. That's a good point.
Zelma Davis, who sang The Things That Make You Go Hmm.
Mm. Things That Make You Go Hmm. Yeah. That's the only song I know.
Mojo Nixon.
That's all they did, right?
Don Henley.
That one song. That was it, I think.
They also did Gonna Make You Sweat.
Oh.
The CNC Music Factory. Ooh, maybe we can get Bill to talk about his CNC Music Factory today, and that'll be there's a little connection.
There's our little thing.
Yeah, Fat Larry, it's true, Terminus 1961. I saw that. I don't know Fat Larry, but Fat Larry was born on this day in 1949.
Ah, Fat Larry.
Died.
Never forget.
Died in February 2000. Yeah, never forget Fat Larry.
1920, Bill Scott, American voice actor and producer and writer. He was Mr. Peabody and also played the voice of Bullwinkle in the old Rocky and Bullwinkle show.
Oh, that's cool. All right. Hey, Rocky.
Yep.
Watch me pull a rabbit out of my hat.
We found you a good one. Let's see. I'm trying to find a more recent here. Okay,
yeah,
here we go.
Yeah, somebody more recent. Yeah.
How about this one? The rapper Moto Boy. Probably don't care about that.
great. Oh, good. Moto Boy. Excellent. Yes. All right.
I'm trying to find one that I recognize. Let's see. It's getting to the early 70s here.
Yeah, like you got to move into.
Because the minute I hit the 90s.
Charlie XCX. I hear she's fancy.
I have no
idea.
She was
born on this day.
Is that who that is? I don't know who that is. That seems cool.
I'm so fancy.
Oh, okay. that song. Okay.
Yeah.
Another one hit.
Charlie XCX.
Kind of deal. Well, anyway, you're famous, Brian. Look at all these famous people.
No, I'm not. But that's Jose Ding Dong Dantes, the Filipino actor.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Jose Ding Dong Dantes. Yes.
That's fantastic.
Happy birthday.
Yeah.
Sam Worthington. There's a good one.
I was just going to say, that's a really good one. You know who else? Wes Craven, American film director.
Oh, look at that. There we go. Why don't those two get together?
Yeah, what's the deal there? Cool? Yeah. Stop, drop, and collaborate or whatever NLI says. What does he say? I forget what he says.
Stop, collaborate, and listen.
There you go.
Mice is back with something.
Missing.
But something's missing.
Real quick, you are, the very first person on record that we have for your birthday.
Yeah, okay.
Of note,
all right.
Is 1455 was the year.
Ooh, all right.
The man was Johann Cicero, Elector of Brandenburg. He was born in 1486, died in 1499. Wait, how can that be? Hold on. Oh, no, I'm sorry.
Born in 1486, died in 1499.
Sorry, I have that wrong. He was the elector.
13 years old.
He was the elector position thing from 86 to 99.
Gotcha.
And then died 1499. Same year he was. Okay, so he was serving when he died. But anyway, he lived a nice long life. And Brian, you're be like Jonathan or Johann
Let's
Cicero.
Hope I can be like Johann.
Yeah.
Yes.
Do all you can to be like
that's
Johann.
You know, I'm going to put a bumper sticker on my car that says WWJD and it'll be, what would Johann do?
Finally,
people will know exactly that's what that means when they see that sticker.
Finally. All right. Couple of quick things. I don't think. OK. The stores. OK, We live in a time now where Brian's like, hey, I'm hungry. Do we want DoorDash, Grub, Goober Grub, or whatever the hell
Brian
it is.
Brian doesn't do that. Scott does that. So I do go this, out and get food.
Yes. I do it occasionally. I don't do it that often, but once in a while. We did a lot during the pandemic, but not so much now. Or, you know, it was when things were crazy. And so we go to Firehouse Subs yesterday.
Yum. What'd you get?
I got the Hook and Ladder, I think, which a hot sandwich with like ham and turkey.
Yes, and melty cheese.
This is really good. Freaking great sandwich. Anyway, we get in there and the first words out of their mouth when we walk in is, hi, welcome to the, what's it called? Firehouse. Welcome to Firehouse Subs. Yeah, you okay waiting 20 minutes? We're like, oh
my God, that was the first thing they said.
Mouth, and we're like, you know what? Yes, because whatever stress you're under, we want to be supportive. We're not going to be jerks.
Sure,
no problem. We'll be happily just make our order and sit and wait. And they were very glad that we weren't jerks. But the place was packed, not with people, but with DoorDash and Uber Eats and Grubhub people waiting for orders. And one of them was there for 25 footlongs.
Oh, geez.
For some office thing. And they came to the wrong location to pick it up. So instead of going all the way to that other location, they said, no, just have them make it.
Make it at this location.
Yeah, which disrupts everything. And lunch hour is about to start. Things are like bananas. And they had these just stacks of like stuff to make. It was ridiculous. And they were all trying to coordinate. You could tell they were frustrated. New people would come in and they go, hi, sorry, but we're about 20, 25 minutes, before we can get to your order. And people are just going, well, I'm not bad, and just leave.
Yeah.
It's like, you penis heads. Anyway, so this is going on.
They might have an hour for lunch and they might have time to wait.
They might. I just don't think they should all act irritated. So there's nothing you can do. Just leave. Like, don't be
just irritated with life.
Yeah, I guess so. So it's not their fault is my point. But anyway, they're in there just working like crazy. They took our order and then, you know, now we're on the list or whatever. And then Kim and I are just kind of chilling, eating chips and whatever weird diet drink I got.
Yeah.
And then these Uber Eats people are all acting like the most princess of princesses. Just like everybody owes them something. So what I think what I came away with, the reason I'm bringing this up, is this just had this thought that as convenient as this sort of gig economy thing became for customers where they pay a little bit more and have the convenience of a delivery or an office doing that or whatever, it brings a ton of business to a place like this. But I don't think they actually freaking like it. I think they
loved it during the pandemic because it was the way a lot of places didn't have the facility to allow people to social distance or eat outside.
Right.
It was the only way they could survive, right? It was like, okay, we have to have a delivery component. But yeah, I mean, you know, do they still like it? Is the guild off the lily, as they say, right? Shine off the apple.
Exactly. Yeah. It felt like the sort of rank and file that have to deal with the wackadoo that happens every single day with this.
But
it just seemed like a lot, you know. They looked really stressed.
I'll say this, like, and I can't believe I forgot to tell this story, but I think it was one of the weekends where we didn't have a show Monday, and we had a couple of those, and so I'd forgotten to tell this story on Tuesday. Mm. So Tina and I went to Chipotle and got there like at about 11:45, close to noon. Walk in, we're like, oh my God, this is awesome. There's only two people up at the counter about to order. There's no line. This is fantastic.
Yeah.
So we get up there. And it's a couple of women in like hospital scrubs.
Okay.
And we're like, all right, cool. They'll place the order. We'll place ours. We'll be eaten and it'll be great, nice and quick.
Sure.
She pulls out the smallest post-it note that you can get. You know those ones that are like smaller than a matchbook?
Here's a standard one. It's like a quarter of that.
That's
a
standard one.
Right?
It's like a quarter of that. Exactly. Yes.
Yeah. They're tiny, you guys.
And she's reading from that maybe like 8-9 orders for people back at whatever medical facility she works at, which is fine. You know, it's great. Oh, yeah. Send somebody to go out and pick up the food, bring it back. That's great. But she's doing it in the absolute worst way. Mm. So it's like, okay, the next one is a burrito. And so they get out the put the tortilla in the t-shirt iron, and then they pull it out. Black beans. Okay. They put black beans. What else? Rice. Okay. They put the rice on. Every time she has to look back down at the little post-it note.
Yeah.
And chicken. Yeah, chicken. Okay. And the salsa, they get that one down the end. Then it's like, what's
same
the next
thing again? Ugh.
Same thing. Another burrito. And she does the whole thing. Black beans, white rice, chicken, salsa. It's like, oh my God, you could have said make four burritos all with black beans, chicken. But no, she has to keep looking down at this thing.
And even like, even if they're slightly different, like let's say one guy says, I want this on it, but yeah. I want guac or whatever.
Right.
Fine. Then say, I want four of these. They're identical.
They're identical.
Two of these identical. And then this one has guac. Duh.
Exactly. Or just like say, yeah, I'm getting six burritos. Great. Little t-shirt machine going over time. Then put the rice on. Then put the beans on. All of them black beans? Yes, all of them black beans. Great.
Bloop, 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 bloop. Yep.
Yeah, exactly.
Chat room makes a point. They make a point about how they have to read doctor's writing. Maybe that was it.
I don't think so. Because you certainly wouldn't pass around this tiny post-it note for everybody to put their order on. She went around to everybody's office or wherever and said, okay, I'm going to Chipotle. What do you want? And so, you know, they told her and she wrote it down. Instead of like, you know, a big piece of paper or something, or I don't know, use the Chipotle online ordering system and then go pick it up. Because they have that, and it's easy.
They do. I agree. They should do that. I don't know, man. Like, it just looked hard. And these poor guys, you could tell they were just, like, dreading. If a new person came in, they were going to have to tell them, you know, we're slammed with this, and we can't do anything for a minute.
Yeah.
And those, you know, I just felt for them. I was just like, oh, you poor guys. Anyway, it went great because they got to my thing 20 minutes later, and that was a damn fine sandwich. So.
Good. Yeah.
Boom.
Nothing wrong with that. Firehouse sub.
The hook and ladder, man. I usually try to get mushrooms on it, but then it's almost identical to another sandwich that doesn't have ham. So I'm always torn, like, should I just get that or should I get the extra thing?
Calories don't count on birthdays, right? Like, I can eat what I want on my birthday.
Oh, yeah. They don't even, your body doesn't even know the difference.
Doesn't even, sure. Okay.
No register. Yeah. You just eat like a whole cake. You're fine. You're good.
Yeah. Okay. Good. All right. Good. That's what I'm going to do. I'm actually going to go. That's a good suggestion. I'm going to go get a whole cake.
Yeah. Get a whole cake.
What I might do.
Yeah.
I'm going to go to Mod Pizza, get a mini mod of my favorite kind of pizza, and then get one of their little fake knockoff ding-dongs.
Oh, those are good.
Those are good. They're no-name cakes.
Yeah. They're really good, though. They're like a fantastic like rip-off.
They are. Fantastic. I loved it when they had the Pride ones, right, with the Pride colors.
Oh, yeah. I didn't eat my... I'm off the shug now, so I can't do it. But back in the day, before all this happened, like pre-2019, I would kill a couple of those in a visit.
murder a no-name ding-dong.
No kidding. For some reason, your story about the hospital lady ordering burritos, for some reason, I picture them as nuns. Why do I keep doing that? In my head, they're nuns.
Because you're forgetting what scrubs look like, apparently. You think they're black with hoods.
Yeah, isn't that weird? Or I'm thinking of like, oh, it's like a church, you know, the Hospital of Sister Mercy or whatever, and it's all a bunch of nuns running the place. I don't know why. It's just in my head. Something wrong with
me. That's hilarious. I'll just go to Five Guys because it's right by Mod Pizza. I'll go to Five Guys, and then afterwards I'll get a couple ding-dongs. Perfect. I think that's great.
Yeah.
Some Five Guys and ding-dongs.
Yeah, Five Guys and their ding-dongs. You heard it here first. Just turn that pineapple upside down, Brian. You'll be all set.
Nothing wrong with that. Yeah, exactly.
Tell me about trivia last night. How'd that go?
So we went to, there's a local place, Colorado Tap House, that does trivia. They do their own trivia. As opposed to having one of the many companies that are now doing bar trivia that come to your bar with questions and prizes and all that. You pay them, but they bring in a bunch of people, et cetera. They're doing their own thing,
that.
Right? Their own
questions. I thought it was all everybody's own thing. I didn't realize it was like a...
No, there's some great, Geeks Who Drink is one of the big ones that puts stuff on, and they're fantastic. They're my favorite of the bunch. And when we were doing the Geek Bowls every year that would take us to Chicago and Seattle and Boston, it was the Geeks Who Drink company putting those on. And so our $10,000 check and our, you know, $8,000 check and all that stuff came from them. That's anyway, cool. So we went last night, had some good rounds, had some bad rounds. There was some tough questions. There were some easy ones. I pulled an answer out of my butt. Like, who read their own poem? Oh, and I can't remember what it was called, at JFK's inauguration.
Oh gosh.
Yeah.
I don't know that. That's hard.
Yeah. I'm thinking, all right, well, who would have been alive? Maybe Robert Frost. Let's say Robert Frost.
Sure.
turned into, yeah, Glenn Gunn got it. It was Robert Frost.
Oh, it was him. Okay.
So pulled that one out of my butt, and that one actually got us to second place. So we won second place, right? And there was a guy from Coors there. They'd never had a decent set of prizes other than their little gift card of house cash.
Mm.
But Coors, the guy from Coors was there, and he's like, all right, I've got Rockies tickets for first place. I've got this nice set of pint glasses for second place. And these are really cool, like embossed Coors pint glasses. They're kind of, they have the Rockies embossed on them.
That's cool.
Really cool.
Yeah.
And then he says, yeah, and I've got a few t-shirts and things like that. So if you want a t-shirt, just come up. You don't have to win them, et cetera. It's like, oh, well, this is kind of cool. All right. Excellent. Well, we really want those Rockies tickets.
Yeah, I bet.
So there were five of us last night, me and Tina and the neighbors. So we play our hardest. We come up short. We come second place. Now, during the game, he goes around and he says, hey, I actually found a bunch more of these glasses. So I have enough that I can give everybody playing one of these glasses.
Mm.
Oh, cool. All right. Awesome.
Yeah.
So he goes around every table, gives them glasses. This, you know, that was going to be the second place thing, but worked out just fine. We got those anyway. We are battling head to head against this team called Bananagrams or something like that.
Bananagrams? What does that even mean?
Bananagrams or banana. They're banana something and just irritated the crap out of me. So
yeah,
they had first place on the first scoring break. Then they slipped down to second. We slipped up to third. And then, you know, like we traded places at the very end. They took third. We took second. And then another team, B-Dogs, took first place.
Oh, the B-Dogs.
Of course, guy goes up to B-Dogs. All right, here, let me give you your, let me take your information. I'll send you the Colorado Rockies baseball tickets. Great. That's cool. And then the team that took third is the table right next to his, and they start whining like, oh, we were so close. We just, you know, we just, I can't believe we screwed up. And I answered the last question wrong, and I had knew the answer and I didn't get it. Me. And they started whining.
Okay.
And I'm standing there next to him to go up and say, hey, before we head out of here, anything else for second place, or should we bolt? Well, we bolt. But I want to let this table, you know, finish their little whining pity party.
Of course.
Coors guy says, well, tell you what, I've actually got a couple more Rockies tickets that I can give you guys. Don't tell anybody, but I'll give you these.
Nice.
And I'm standing there right next to the table listening to all this.
This is some more karma from Vegas, except it's not directed at you yet. Anyway, keep
going. Exactly. No, this is anti-karma. Like, yeah. This is like, what did these jackanapes do to deserve this?
All they did was complain, those bastards.
Exactly. Yeah. So the guy gives them their tickets, and then I walk over, still right next to this, you know, the table of whiners who just got some tickets for taking third place.
Yeah.
Say, hey, we're getting ready to take off. Just want to make sure nothing else for second place. Is like, oh, no, it was going to be the glasses, but we gave all those out. Like, okay, thanks. Thanks. You know, I don't know. Maybe if you had a couple of spare Rockies tickets, oh, I don't know, maybe you could have given them to second place per chance. Maybe. Maybe that you could have done.
That's a bummer, dude.
Jackass.
I would have been annoyed exactly. Too. I feel your pain on this one. That sounds like an annoying thing, but
it's like, come on. So
anyway. I'm a little annoyed that they didn't. I mean, I don't know. Like,
you and Kim, you totally would have said, "Oh, well, you know, we'd like them, but maybe offer him to the second place team."
Yeah, we would have done
that's
that.
That's what we would have done.
100%.
If he had come over to us, we absolutely would have said, "Well, do you have something for second place? Because maybe they should get those."
Yeah,
but. Yeah, no, these were all adults acting like little 5-year-olds who didn't get their way and pouted. And
maybe
and,
they got instant karma. Maybe they went out to their car and immediately shit themselves and didn't know why.
I'm hoping that that it pours rain on them at the Rockies game. Like,
yep,
I hope
so
it rains
wet.
Nothing but sour grapes on them.
That's
the entire
right.
Time there.
Cold, stinky rain. And like after some kind of fire happens, there's a bunch of smoke in the air and then that rain hits it and then it's all on them. That's exactly. What we hope for them. We don't want them to exactly. Die or anything. We're just saying, you know.
I hope a fly ball, a pop fly knocks their nachos over. That's what I hope.
And then the diarrhea. All right.
And then the diarrhea from the nachos.
Yeah, always the diarrhea. All right. That's awesome. Or sucks. Yeah. I should say.
No, whatever. Well, that's
too bad.
Yeah, Rockies tickets right now are cheap because the Rockies are not doing well.
Oh,
so.
They're not great, are they?
No.
Well, look at all those fair weather friends only supporting their favorite team.
Exactly. It's like, oh, we love the Avalanche right now, and we're really excited about the Broncos with Russell Wilson, but
the Rockies are. How are the, what's the basketball team? I always forget.
The Nuggets.
How are the Nuggets last season? I didn't pay attention.
They're okay. Yeah. I mean, they were, I don't even think they made it to the playoffs. So I think that it's like, yeah, they're fair.
In the 90s, we enjoyed a little Western rivalry with you guys. It was fun.
Oh, yeah. Jazz and Nuggets, man.
And we were always fighting for that seed. And then, you know, one of them would go past the other and it would be like, meh, but it was always pretty friendly.
It always was.
Yeah. We just wanted to beat the Bulls, and so did you. And you know
exactly.
We had a common goal.
Just wanted to beat the Bulls. Hey, before we get to this email,
yes,
I hadn't even thought about bringing this up, but I have this. I've been saving this tab because I did want to tell you about it. I'm going to tell you about it on the show because holy crap, is this a cool thing? Mm. Now the only bummer about this is that I think it there's a level of it that costs money, but whatever.
Okay.
There's a thing called Bricket. BRICKIT. And you're thinking to yourself, man, that sounds like a horrible thing because I don't like things getting bricked.
Yeah.
I don't want my phone to get bricked. Exactly. I don't want my iPad to get bricked.
Yeah, who wants to brick their electronics? Nobody does.
Nobody does. No, this is an app that you use with Legos. You probably, after assembling a ton of Lego things, or maybe just from Van, you've got a big bin of nothing but Legos.
Definitely,
right? Just loose Legos.
Oh yeah, tons of. We got right now. It's still kind of the big fat Duplo looking stuff, but
oh sure, yeah, not the actual little bricks.
Yeah,
this thing is so cool. You take a picture with your phone, so you download this app, and you take a picture of your pile of bricks splayed out across a table.
Oh my gosh, I know where this is headed. Keep going.
And it scans and figures out all the bricks you have. It probably makes that noise. If it doesn't, it should.
Yeah.
And then shows you things you can make from those loose bricks.
What, dude?
Yeah.
That's what I thought you were going to say. That's crazy. That's so cool. So have you done it? Did you try it?
I downloaded it and I tried it. And I even I was going to do something on the show. Brought over a little bucket of bricks and splayed them out because we have a massive Rubbermaid bin of bricks that Tristan left when he moved out.
Oh, that's awesome.
And I dumped these out onto the table, spread them out, and it wasn't enough. It's like, I think you need more bricks. Yeah. That's what it said.
Wow.
Because you take out weird stuff like these things, right? Like these custom
The bits that are like pre-built and ready to snap on or whatever.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, you know, your TIE fighter pieces and stuff like that. You take those out and you just scan like the regular bricks. But this thing is so impressive.
I'd never even heard of that. That's really cool.
Yeah, I kind of want to splay them all out over the poker table later and try this out and just see what happens.
Yeah, just see what it says. So I assume it's like, oh, they've got, you have enough bricks to make these three cars or
exactly.
That's
right.
The same amount for this large plane or whatever it
this
is.
This haunted house or right. Exactly.
Does it do anything with the minis or just the bricks? I assume it's just probably the bricks.
Probably just the bricks, but you know, then you put your minis in there and say, all right. I mean, I guess you could say, you know, you've got enough to build this haunted house and put a ghost MIDI in front of it.
Yeah, maybe it will. That's so cool. I had no idea that existed. I may mess with that as well later because
I think there's a free level and then there's pro, and I don't know what pro gets you, but pro is like $44 a year, and it feels like that doesn't feel like it's in the Lego world that much money.
That's a lot. But
it is a lot, but I guess if you're, you know, if you've got a little kids in the house and you need stuff to occupy them, rainy day stuff. Oh, so then it even says like, all right, so once you've splayed them out and taken your picture and it tells you what you can build, you leave those bricks where they are because then as you're building, it says, oh yeah, you want this little red 6-peg brick, which is right here. And it just bleep, 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 shows you in your photo exactly where it is.
That's really cool. Isn't that cool? That's actually really cool. I didn't know that existed. Yeah. That's awesome. See, sometimes technology is great, you guys. That's what we've learned.
Yes.
All right. Well, Legos aside, we are going to read a quick email. This one from somebody.
Send and receive email.
This is from Cappy, who said...
Hello, Cappy.
He sent it to themorningstream@gmail.com. It says, Dear Superman and Batman. Never thought of that before. We got...
Yeah.
How has no one done Superman and Batman?
What made you say that name, Cappy?
It says, I know how much y'all dislike the CW versions of the DCU. I don't know if that's true of Brian, though. He's had some he's enjoyed, right?
Yeah, I was constantly watching Arrow, Flash, and Legends of Tomorrow before they turned into the Iris show, the Felicity Smoke show, and
and the freaking longingly in each other's eyes, freaking love story shows.
Exactly. It started turning into, let's focus on the girlfriends too much instead of the superhero stuff.
But, I guess Flash is getting one more season and they're out. They announced it yesterday.
One last 13 episode season and then they're done.
Yeah. But does that make you want to catch up at all? Or what do you think of that? No. Okay. No, I never even started it. I hung on
there as long as I could. And then they had a whole season of Iris trapped in the mirror universe. And I was like, oh my God.
Boo.
Yeah. Maybe just leave her.
Flash. Plus you'd argue too, or I would argue that those, what's that guy's name who produced all those? What's his name?
Berlanti.
The Berlanti stuff. And he's still doing some of that for HBO Max, but the Berlanti stuff on CW is vastly inferior to what they're doing so far with both his and other stuff on HBO Max with Warner Brothers stuff and therefore DC.
Like, Titans is fantastic. Doom Patrol is great. Doom Patrol is great.
And he's got a hand in both those things, I think. I know for sure Titans is his deal.
It's definitely produced. I don't know if it's written or directed or anything by that.
Sure. But I just think that stuff's so vastly superior that I think the CW stuff just needs to die on the vine and be done. You know?
Or, you know, move it over. Like, give us Flash stuff that's as good as Titans and Doom Patrol.
Yeah. I agree with that. I need to watch the first three episodes dropped for the new...
Harley Quinn.
Yeah, I love that series. So good.
I still have four or five episodes of the last season.
Brian, you need to catch up on that show.
I do. Well, that's a good thing for filler. It's like, oh no, Better Call Saul comes first. I got to get me some Better Call Saul.
Why won't anyone spend time with me? their Bane on there is so great.
Have I seen Bane yet? I know I've.
I think I have seen Bane
because when she gets her invite into the Justice or the what's the villain equivalent?
I forget the Legion of Doom.
Gets her invite into the Legion of Doom.
Yeah, headed by Lex Luthor, played by Giancarlo Esposito once again.
That guy. Boy, what an agent that guy has! Right, I still never. Oh, that reminds me. I still never picked up that new Far Cry.
I didn't either. There was some talk it was hitting Game Pass, and so I was kind of waiting for that.
I'll bet it hits PlayStation Plus or PlayStation Extra or whatever it is. So I'll just wait for that.
Oh, get that cat game before they pull it.
Yes. That's right. Because that's PlayStation Plus, right? Yeah. That's like
Carter. It's on Steam, but if you have PlayStation Plus middle tier, no, I guess it's even basic tier, you get that one.
It's just one of their free monthly games. You're playing a cat running around Japan. What's not to love?
Yeah, and they're all robots. There's no peoples. It's all cyberpunk weirdness. And Carter played the whole thing, beat it, and won't stop begging me to play it. She's just freaking out about it. So apparently it's great.
Did she cry at the very beginning when the cat falls off the pipe and lands with a thud and it is limping all over for the first few levels?
No, but when she came in and said... I finished it and I said, oh, did it? Because I always want to know what makes her emotional because she's such an emotional kid. So I say, to make you cry at the end. And she immediately just like looked at me and her eye twitched for a minute and she's like about to cry again. So apparently a very emotional ending to the thing and it's very good. So,
okay. All right. Good. I'm excited. Tally says that she cried so much. Oh, I know. I watched like the review I saw that just played that beginning part with the cat sliding off the pipe and it's like, oh my God.
I know that was enough to make me go,
you're gonna
yank me around. Tally cried? Now that is something. That must have been very emotional.
They must have shown EA or something on screen.
somebody killed EA in the cat game. Anyway, says, I know you guys don't like those versions very much, but please check out Superman and Lois. It is gritty and a great story and truly brings me back to what Smallville was like. It has a direct connection to Smallville and almost has no connection to the, I don't know what that means. I think
to the
CWDC, averse. I think he probably dictated this.
Oh, to the of the. Yeah.
I think he means the universe
right there. That little.
Yeah. And averse is not the right word. Anyway, of Pretty People Only, at least for me, I felt the old West vibes that Scott loves so much for a good portion so far. Love the show, Cappy. Yeah. I've heard similar things about Superman.
I watched the first five episodes of that and loved it. And then they had like a break and I haven't gone back to continue the series, but it is really good. It's that Tyler Hoechlin, I think is his name, who played Superman in the other Berlanti shows when they do their Crisis and stuff like that.
Oh, I didn't realize they carried him over. I thought he was a new.
Yeah, they carried him over. So this is, you know, this is in the same universe, Berlanti-verse, as those other shows. I think that's what he also meant, right? The CWDC-verse is what he's trying to say, the short for universe.
Yeah, sure.
But those shows are great. They're really, really well done. And it's they go back to Smallville. And they're just, you know, it's Superman and Lois hanging out in Smallville with their teenage sons, raising them back in Smallville away from the hustle and bustle of Metropolis.
I didn't know they had multiple sons. Is that that's not comic current, I don't think, right? Because I thought they just had John. And it was it.
No, yeah, they've got two. Yeah, I think that's right. I think in the comics they only have one, but in this show they have two. Oh, okay, thanks. Dice to me to clarify. Well, that's what I meant. CW is the Berlantiverse, yes.
Gotcha. They don't call
but
it.
But then so is the stuff that's not on CW. That's because they've had crossovers.
In Titans, they did?
Titans. I guess Titans and Doom Patrol have had their crossovers, but never nothing with the...
Yeah,
you're right. I guess
that.
None of the CW stuff.
I gotta catch up on all that stuff. You just reminded me of how much crap I'm behind on. I love Titans. I watched like five episodes and then just got busy, and now I'm so behind. We live in a time of we're buried in it.
Yeah, it's
we're
true.
We're just under all the nerd stuff now.
Remember a time when we couldn't get enough like comic book and geek culture television, and now it's like, oh my god, there's so much out there.
When you and I were in high school, we had to go to comic book shops. It's the only source we had. It's all we could do. And what did we have on TV and other stuff with comic book stuff? Terrible iterations of like Spider-Man and Captain America. It was all bullshit. It was all bad. And now I can't breathe. There's so much of it I can't breathe. Anyway,
And you don't get, and who you want? Minka Kelly. You're missing out on your Minka Kelly fix.
Oh, I love Minka Kelly.
Yeah.
She was great on, she was on Euphoria.
Friday Night Lights.
Yeah. She was on Euphoria this last season. Very good.
Oh, was she really?
Yeah. She plays somebody's mom.
I was just about to say she's not up to playing somebody's mom yet, is she?
But she totally is. But she's like somebody's very hot mom.
Somebody's MILF is what she is.
Yeah, she's very, very, she's beautiful. But
yeah, she is.
It's what you get when you got your, wait, who's her dad? It's not, I just can't. How's it go? I can't think of the band. Love in an Elevator. Who am I thinking of?
Aerosmith. Steven Tyler?
Not Steven Tyler, the other guy.
Oh, right, right. It's the Joe Perry or
Joe
something,
Perry,
right?
I think, is her dad.
Yeah. No, I'm sorry. Rick Dufay.
Is it Rick Dufay?
I forget
which one of those guys are. But yeah, she's gorgeous. And then I would argue that, you know, what's her name? Arwen is still very beautiful. What's with this band?
Liv Tyler?
Yeah, what's with these ugly dudes in this ugly band?
Because they're musicians and they attract women who are so beautiful, their genes override the ugly rocker genes.
I guess so, man. Because they're beautiful people. And you look at their dads, you go, my gosh, how did the seed come out of that wiener? You know what I mean? all right. Hey, real quick, big thanks and shout out to Saranix in September in our community. They have a video game show. They do. And cool. I was on it this week, and I had a great time. And I'm an idiot because I forgot the name of the show. I want to give him a little props for it and tell people about it, and I forgot. So if one of you is in the chat, please tell me the name. I had a really good time though.
Did they know each other and work together before ANTP? Because they're two people from the most recent season of America's Next Podcast.
They are. I think they hooked up. They told me this. They said they met each other, I think, in TMS chat. before all of this,
before
I think.
NTP? Okay, cool.
It wasn't Geek Grills.
That's the other show she does, which is excellent.
Or Gamer Grills. It wasn't that. I want to be on there with that, her sometime. I know you've all been on there, but me, I don't know why I haven't been on there. But
oh, you haven't been on Geek Grills?
No. Yeah, they've had Tom. She was saying they had Tom like multiple times. They've had you. They've had like Jury a couple of times.
Yeah.
Like, I've never been asked, September. You got to ask. but anyway, that was really fun. I had a good time. We talked a bunch about stuff, and it was great. They did a good job.
Cool.
All right. We should do a little bit of news here this morning. You know, get people caught up in what happened overnight. And here you go. It's time for the news, and it's brought to you by.
Brought to you by the Colorado Rockies, disappointing, whining trivia players since 2012.
I mean, you know, why are they so bad right now, by the way, the Rockies? What do you think the deal is?
It's rebuilding year, Scott. It's rebuilding year.
Oh, rebuilding year. They've been telling me that about the Jazz since 96, so.
Exactly.
That's fine. I get it.
Yeah.
Although we did get some kind of crazy draft pick stuff this year. Or something. I haven't followed it really closely, but I guess there's like four big draft. Something's happening with the Jazz. I don't know what the hell it was.
Okay.
So we lost what's his name, who we loved, even though he was patient zero for COVID.
oh gosh, really?
Yeah, he was famous for the whole NBA. When they shut down, it's because this dude got it. What's his name? Rudy Gobert. That's it.
Really?
And so he took a ton of shit for that. But I can tell you on the ground level, this dude did more in the community while he was here than almost any Jazz player has in decades. Like that guy was like super charity minded, always up for something like that, helping kids, showing up at the hospital for some kid whose wish was to meet him. Like stuff like
that's
that.
Cool.
He was a really good dude. Just a little sloppy on the COVID.
Hey, one of our trivia questions last night. This is a good one for the chat room. I'm curious to see if anybody gets this. What entertainer has given the most given the most wishes for the Make-A-Wish Foundation? Right.
Oh.
So what celebrity, entertainer, person of note has been the most wished upon to meet or
living or dead or both, or do you know if it's
they're living yeah,
okay.
My god, how do so many of the people in the chat room know this?
I'm not looking. I want to guess this.
Yeah, take a guess. Don't look at the chat.
I'm thinking of recent years just because I can't help it. Robert Downey Jr. maybe shows up as Iron Man at children's hospitals and stuff.
It's interesting. That was one of the ones we came up with. We went older because we thought, well, this person would appeal to both children and teenagers and you know, sadly not appropriately with children, but we thought, oh, Michael Jackson probably would have been really into the Make-A-Wish Foundation and would have probably been cool with like showing up at hospitals for kids who made a wish. But no, the chat room completely flooded the right answer. John Cena.
That's amazing. Really, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
He seems like the kind of guy that would do that stuff.
He does. Peacemaker out there doing the...
making peace. Yeah.
Making peace. Tell me you've seen Peacemaker. You've watched that.
Brian, I'm embarrassed to tell you this. I loved him in Suicide Squad.
I
fully intended to just go all in, and I just haven't. I have zero excuse. I need to watch
it. No reason at all. Oh my god.
Once again, it's those things where it's like
the intro to Peacemaker.
I have seen the dance.
You have seen that.
Yeah,
okay.
I saw that, and that's actually one of the things I was like, oh, I'm so excited for this. And then I just didn't. And then part of me went, oh, Scott, you know it'll be there forever. And then a little voice behind that going, but you're not going to be here forever. So now I gotta watch it.
Because I was going to say, if you hadn't seen the dance, we'd have to force it into TMS couch party.
Oh, that'd be fun.
But if you've seen the dance, then it's like, no, watch that series on your own time. It's really good.
Lennonade in the chat saying Peacemaker's way better than Parasite. Okay, all right.
he told me he's trying to use reverse psychology on you.
Is that what he's doing? Okay. Well, it didn't work there, buddy. It makes me just want to watch Peacemaker. Anyway, Chick-fil-A in the news. You know them?
Chick-fil-A. I do. They are still not popular with the gays.
Yeah.
Appropriately so.
Or the gays are not popular with them, I guess. I don't know.
Well, that's true. It's actually, yeah, it's...
from a corporate level, I don't know where they're at with that now. I can tell you, I love our local franchise because they're all franchisees, you know, locally owned by people who own a franchise. Yeah. And these people are awesome. They're so nice, so personable. Yeah. It feels like a mom and pop restaurant when you go in there because they remember you, which is weird, right? These people that own it.
Yeah.
Their employees love them. They have hired multiple LGBTQ people. Mm-hmm. I do it slowly because I F that up all the time.
it starts sounding like somebody dumped a Scrabble bag.
Yeah, right? A little bit. If I do it too quick, it makes no sense. But I forgot the plus, but they're real good at that stuff. Yeah. And I love that because to me, it's kind of flies in the face of the bullshit from corporate. But anyway, this is not about that. They're asking for volunteers, that's in quotes, to work for five chicken sandwiches per hour. Okay?
Okay.
So this is weird. Chick-fil-A.
Already see so many problems.
Yeah, there's issues with this. A Chick-fil-A in North Carolina posted a job opportunity on Facebook that offered to pay volunteers in chicken, not money. So they want to pay, and the currency is chicken.
First of all, that's freaking lame.
Yeah, it is lame. Super lame.
Cheap.
Yeah. Lame. But also, you know, one location, so, you know, you don't expect this from your local.
Is it? So this isn't coming from corporate. This is
just them. Yeah.
Jeez.
Apparently they have, according to the couple that owns ours, the one near us, they say that corporate actually has very little to do with anything except for the main menu items. Promotions that are national. What else? That's kind of it. Like according to them, I don't know if everyone's the same. Who knows? But that's what they say.
Could
anyway,
you eat five chicken sandwiches of theirs in an hour? Like, would you feel like that is, you know, adequate sustenance? Or like, you know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah.
Like, you're not going to eat five sandwiches in an hour. So they're
you certainly
number
shouldn't,
one,
right?
You certainly shouldn't. So number one, that's costing them what? Like $3 worth of food.
Yeah. If that
total.
Yeah.
And then you're not even going to eat more than two of those. If you do.
Yeah. If you eat five, this is what you get.
Diarrhea.
Right after the end of that. Don't do that. Yeah, don't be eating five anything. But no, I don't. This is a terrible idea. I mean, I guess if you're starving, you're not going to be able to pay your rent with a freaking chicken.
Do you have Torchy's tacos where you're at?
No, but you're always telling me they're awesome, and I want them.
They're awesome. Yeah, the thing that came from Austin. They're an Austin thing that moved here, and I drove somebody. I lifted somebody yesterday. God, they need a better term.
I have a new. Wait, you're bringing up Lyft. Hold on.
Drive Lyft story. Yeah.
Let's see if this plays.
Drive at sensible speeds. Be courteous and obey traffic regulations.
There you go. There's your new one.
Cool.
So tell me, what happened there?
I drove somebody to work. They work at Torchy's Tacos, and they said, so in addition to paying us, they're now starting to do a thing where they used to give us 50% off whatever we wanted to eat while we were working there. But they said, since the people in the back can just eat whatever they want when they want, they're going to extend that to the front of the house too. So basically they get three full-on tacos per shift. And that's on top of their pay, not in place of, but on top of their pay.
Good for them. You know?
And they've got like 20 different kinds of tacos on their menu. So if you work there, you're going to have something different every single time.
Right. It's not like working at Dairy Queen where you got the same damn hot dog and hamburger to look at every day or whatever.
Exactly.
Yeah. I think that's great. You know what? Take good care of your people. They'll take care of you. You won't be a victim of this silent strike everybody's having.
And screw you, Chick-fil-A.
Chick-fil-A. Filet your own
chicks. You and the rap you rode in on.
They ended up deleting the post, by the way, because they got a whole lot of shit for it.
I'm sure they did. Good.
I mean, basically people are like, you're asking people to work for free. That's actually illegal in the state, like all kinds of stuff. And they were like, oh, shit. So they pulled it. But their chicken is sure tasty.
Yeah, their excuse was, we get people all the time that want to be a part of what we're doing. This is just designed to be an opportunity for that.
Yeah, no, you don't do...
People say they want to voluntarily work for us.
Yeah, you don't do internships for freaking chicken preparation. Sorry, you just don't. Because that's what this sounds like, an internship with a perk.
Exactly.
Bull crap. Yes. That's it for today's news. That's a really important stuff. The rest of this will hold. We'll save it for tomorrow, but in a minute... We'll be bringing our old pal Bill in here. Got a question for him from a listener, as well as whatever he's doing this week. And also, Bobby Frankenberger will join us for a science segment after that. Before we do any of these things.
I'm going to learn so much today, Scott.
I know. I feel like I'm going to... You're going to be soaked in it, Brian.
You're soaking in it.
You're soaking in science. Anyway, that's Scott, all coming up. Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah. How do you like your Americans?
I like them nicer and less divisive, and also less manifest destiny based.
Okay, all right, good. Well, if you like your Americans rare, then I've got the band for you. That's a band called Rare Americans, and this is from their brand new album, which is called "You're Not a Bad Person, It's Just a Bad World."
Oh man,
comes out. It's a great title. Yeah. It comes out August 19th via Empire. Look at that. There's finally an Empire Records. Awesome. Good Woo-hoo. To see this.
Yeah.
They are they're donating $1 from every pre-save. So if you go to Spotify or Apple Music or whatever and pre-save their album, then they'll donate $1 to Pink Shirt Day, which is taking a stand against bullying, which is really, really cool.
Yeah.
They, in addition to having a really cool song that you're about to hear, they've also got a very cool video for it, too. It's animated, and it made me think of you and Carter. I think you guys will really get a kick out of this. The song is called Moving On. Here is the band Rare Americans.
We're fighting every day. I got no words left to say. I think I'm moving on. We tried our best. These words have been on my chest. I think I'm moving on. We're too young to have this many problems. Too old for all of the drama. Don't know where it went wrong. I love you too much to drag this out farther. I hate that we're not meant for each other. It's better now than to carry on. I think we're moving on. I think we're moving on. I think we're moving on. In a couple of years, I'll see you out having beers with someone you belong. He'll treat you right, give you cuddles every night. He will hold you tight like I would always fight. It'll be problems, too old for all of the drama. Don't know where it went wrong. I love you too much to drag this out farther. I hate that we're not meant for each other. It's better now than to carry on. I think we're moving on. I think we're moving on. I think we're moving on. So far from our first days together, staying up dusk till dawn. Can't believe we're moving on. Can't believe we're moving on. I can't believe we're moving on.
Valentine's Day's coming. Oh crap, I forgot to get a girlfriend again.
The kid gives him stink eye.
The Morning Stream. You have chosen poorly.
We are back. Once again, that band and song was...
That is the band Rare Americans, and the song is called Moving On from the upcoming album, You're Not a Bad Person, It's Just a Bad World.
I love that. It's true. You know that?
It's true, yeah. Yeah, the album covers really cool drawn artwork as well.
Nice.
But it's got some boobies on it.
Oh, I can't have any boobies.
There are hand-drawn boobies on the cover.
Speaking of which, I found a story today that was about a lady artist lady... back in 1830, 40 something, like way back in the 1800s, who some widower, his wife had just passed, and he was some rich widower guy. Mm-hmm. And when his wife died, this other lady, this artist lady, did a self-portrait of just her milky white boobage.
Uh-huh.
And they're notable for that. And I've seen the painting before. I just didn't know the story behind it. And so it's just these breasts. It's fine, whatever. She paints this. She takes the painting. She ships it to this guy and says, you know, here, this is me. These are my boobs. Here's the painting I made of my boobs. And I realized it's the first nude that anyone sent anybody.
It's the first sex. Right. It's like the first sexting.
Yeah. It's like a booby thing that you would normally do on Snapchat, but you did it with the slow way, the old way. Anyway.
That's kind of cool. Look at that. Wow. Yeah. All right.
Nuts. Anyway. It's a very nice painting. I mean, if I'm to be honest.
Well, sure.
all right. What are we doing? Oh, Bill. It's Bill. Bill time. For some reason, Discord is not coming up. There it is. All right. Here we go. We're adding Bill, and it'll be great because he's always got cool stuff to say. We got a question for him, like I mentioned.
Oh, good.
Yeah, that'll be a lot of fun.
Oh, good.
So here's this.
Your bat cave's open there, Bill.
Bill Duran from punishprops.com joining us like he does every Wednesday or Tuesday, whatever the hell day it is.
Yeah, whatever day this is.
Yeah, whatever this is. Bill, welcome back. How are you?
Hello, I'm good, and a very happy birthday to Brian.
Oh, thank you, Bill. I appreciate
this, man. You're welcome.
Very nice. Nobody doesn't like a nice... Oh, actually, I kind of hate it. I don't like being called happy birthday.
I was going to say, somebody here doesn't like a nice happy birthday.
I don't like getting older, so every time I have a birthday, I'm like less and less inclined to be jovial about it. But you know what? I don't want to take that joy from other people.
Yeah, you're not going to. You're not going to take it from me, Scott. No. I'm going to enjoy it. I'm going to revel in it, and I'm going to appreciate it.
I'll take it from your cold, dead hands is how the phrase goes.
You can have my happy birthday when you pray it from my cold, dead hands.
That's right. Hey, Bill, so we're going to start things off with a question for you today. How's that sound?
Awesome. That sounds fantastic.
All right. Well, our resident maker, Bill, about to answer this question from Thomas from Missouri, who wrote in and says, "Hi, Scott, Brian, and Bill. I recently watched a video on YouTube where Adam Savage basically said when he goes looking for a technique, he finds it on Bill's channel." So here's a link to the video. I was wondering how Bill feels about that. I assume it's pretty great. I also wanted to ask if having a YouTube channel helps or hurts his making, because I could see that knowing that a lot of people are going to see your work would make you want to make it the best you can and put more effort into it, but can also see how pressure would make it more difficult to finish a project and know you are putting it out there to be judged. Do you feel one more than the other? I just wanted to say I enjoy Bill's work, and I hope he keeps making it for a long time, says Thomas in Missouri. So, first question, obviously, you know, Adam even mentioned you in his book.
Yeah.
His recent book. So there's a lot of that going on where he's, like, impressed with your shit. How does that make Bill feel when that happens?
I always tell myself that external validation is not... I can't fuel everything I do from external validation. It has to come from me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But boy, does external validation feel really good.
Yeah.
Feels really good. I hadn't watched that video yet. I think it came out earlier, like last week. So I went and watched it. And then I watched it two more times.
Yeah.
Because Adam's a hero of mine. He's a friend as well. But, you know, I've been watching Mythbusters since it came out. And when he says something that nice about things I make, that makes me feel really terrific.
Yeah. I mean, how could it not, right?
Yeah, he specifically... So, yeah. specifically pointing out that when he looks for something, he ends up on one of his my videos. Validates a lot of things, like all the work I've done for the last 10 years. But also, our videos are tutorials, and they're meant to be evergreen as much as possible. And the fact that people searching for techniques are finding them, whether it's Adam or not, means I did a pretty good job of making them searchable. So if you're making a YouTube channel, everyone, by the way, yay SEO.
Yeah.
Fill out every single tag, as many tags as you can fit on your video, and fill out the entire description with lots of words that describe it.
It actually works.
Yeah, it really does. Because it's not just Adam that's fine. If Adam's finding these videos, then lots and lots of other people are.
Yeah.
So that was really super validated. But I'm also just honored whenever any of my other content creator friends watches one of my videos. Mm. I know I don't have enough time to watch all of my friends' videos. So when really anyone watches my videos, I'm like, I'm just so honored.
Yeah, I feel that way when I hear somebody I really like or admire listens to the show, even other podcasters, and we find out, oh, they're TMS listeners, or they like FilmSack or whatever it is. That is always like sometimes a little bit of a shock. Because yeah. I get like an email out of nowhere. Like I remember the time Deadmau5 emailed the Diablo show. I could not freaking believe that. Or he didn't email. He sent in a voice thing. And he sent a voice?
Yeah, that's right.
He did it with his real name, which I can't even remember now. But he did this whole thing. And at first, it didn't register. So I just answered it like, well, thanks for writing in, so-and-so. Here's what I think about
Brett. Yeah.
And then later, someone's like, dude, Deadmau5 sent you a thing. And you acted like it was nothing. I'm like, oh, shit. But whenever that happens, hysterical. Like, you know, I find out Liam O'Brien listens to this show every day or whatever. Yeah. At first, I'm like, oh, did I say anything so dumb it would embarrass me? You know, like I think of that. But yeah. Also, it's very validating when someone likes your work. So
or even cool. So we just put a video out. And yesterday, Brant, the editor for The Modern Rogue and a buddy, he tweeted out a clip from it. That he thought was funny, and I saw that. I was like, wait a minute, Brant watches my videos, because he is one of the best editors on YouTube. He is so good at what he does, and that he's wasting his time watching my videos.
Yeah, I know, right?
Pretty great.
It's great, and it's weird because you don't. But I even do this with like personal friends. When I hear like, we were joking about it yesterday, but when we know that Christine Fletcher listens to the show, just Scott Fletcher's wife. Her claim to fame is, you know, she's awesome in her own way, but she's Scott Fletcher's wife in terms of the, you know, how people here would know her. But knowing she listens every day, I don't know. I find that both great and also makes me just slightly nervous because these are people I like and care about.
Yeah. These are the people I genuinely care about. Yeah.
Yeah. It's really weird how that plays out. All right. So that's question number one. Question number two was the whole thing. And I think we've talked about this before in different contexts, maybe even with Wendy, but knowing that a lot of people are going to see your stuff, what actually does that do to you? Does it make you more nervous? Does it make you less or more motivated? Like that kind of stuff.
Yeah. It's interesting because back when no one was watching my videos and I didn't care, I felt like I was a lot more loosey-goosey with how I made my videos, and that was really, really fun. Now with a lot of people watching, I feel more responsibility to make both the props and the videos good.
Yeah.
But that's more just my own personal quality bar.
Right.
I Brittany and I both have a level of production value that we each want to hit with our videos. I personally have a level of quality I want to hit with the props that I make.
Yeah.
And I have always been striving to do that even since before I was making videos. So it's less to do with knowing how many people are watching or knowing who's watching and more to do with my own personal bar, but little of both.
No, I think that's good. As long as the personal bar is there, then everything else can be fluid, right? You can you can use the pressure of how many viewers or listeners you have as a way to enhance that, but ultimately it's still down to whatever your personal standards are going to be.
Right, like
I can say as your podcasting's perspective, and I think Brian probably shares this because everything he makes sounds great as well. But for me, sound is key. If it's bad, I don't want to do it. I want to fix it. And if somebody calls in or we have a guest or something that's really bad volume or whatever it may be, either I need to be able to fix that, and usually I can, or something, or else it's just not worth doing. Like I can't do an hour and a half of bad unlistenable content.
Sure, yeah.
So there's a certain level where if I'm hitting that as a minimum, I'm happy. And then, you know, everything above that, hopefully you can reach new heights. But that's, for me, that's a baseline. It sounds like a similar thing to what you're doing. If you're, you know, it's one thing to make a really cool prop, but it's another thing to maybe film it poorly or have bad narration or a shitty mic or something.
Right.
And you don't want to do that, right? You want the full package and have it look good and sound good.
Or with making stuff too, it's taking the time to film all the steps correctly without cutting any corners. There's so many times where it would be easier to say, all right, we'll just finish this thing up here. We don't have to film it.
Yeah.
It's like, nope, we do have to film it. We have to finish it correctly. And we have to let it dry for a day. Yeah. And then we're going to film it tomorrow.
Right.
It's making decisions like that instead of going, nah, let's just slap some paint on it and call the video done today.
Yeah. Yeah. That's hard because sometimes you do want to just be done, right?
You see it all the time.
Yeah. You're like, it's cat time. I need to be with my cat. What are we doing here? All right. Well, that's pretty cool. And then didn't he say one other thing? No, that was it. That was his thing. And he loves your work. So that's nice and validating as well. Thanks, Thomas. Bill, anything else you want to talk about today?
Yeah, new video up on our channel. We also have a summer sale going on this week over at punishedprops.com. So if you want to get our books or any 3D print files or my new Fusion 360 course, those are all on sale.
Nice. Cool.
For the project video, we made Star Trek badges. I've never made a Star Trek prop at all, ever. So,
really? Not even like, I guess the guns that we got were from Daryl. Yeah. So you've never made a, wow, that's surprising.
Yeah. I don't know why. Are you not a big Star Trek fan or what's the, why do you suppose you've never done it?
I am. I was more into Star Wars though, growing up.
Sure.
But I was into Next Generation and DS9 and Brittany was into Next Generation and Voyager. And fortunately, Voyager and DS9 have the same badge and same outfits. So that's the one that we made. But we made it two ways. We 3D printed one on our resin printer and I machined one out of brass and aluminum on my CNC machine. And it's really good. It's metal. It's got magnets in it.
Do you have a thing when you tap it, it goes bleep bleep or anything like that?
Oh, not yet. But that would be a really great addition, wouldn't it?
Yeah. That's cool. That's really cool. I'm looking at your 3D now. What'd you base this on? Did you find something? Or did you have to make it from scratch, or what'd you do?
So I found a screen used prop, a photo someone had of a screen used prop, and I found the scale for it, and then I was able to basically just trace that in Fusion 360 to make the 3D model.
Nice.
The 3D model is available for free over on our website as well. We have a free blueprint section with tons of free stuff. Anyone hasn't gone to our website and they're interested in that, go over there. There's dozens and dozens of free things that'll help you either make something out of foam or 3D print something.
Did you say brass on the one you machined?
Oh, yeah. Brass and aluminum.
Gosh, that's so cool, dude.
That is really cool.
What's your address? I'm just going to rob you. That's the fastest way to get there. I'm never going to get him anyway, so I may as well just go rob, you know, steal
it. If that got you to finally visit Seattle, Scott, then I'd be for it.
Look, Kim and I were, well, actually, there's a thing coming up where I'll be in Seattle shortly, but I won't be there very long. but I don't know. We'll talk. But this is too cool for school. So of the two, I mean, obviously the brass one's going to be your favorite, but do you feel like they look, you know, if from a distance you could have either one of these props on your shirt at the convention and everybody would be equally impressed
Sure. What? Actually, so the painted 3D printed one ended up with more of a matte finish, which I think is actually closer to the way it looked on the show. Mm. So the 3D printed one is fine. Like it looks like it's from the show. The metal one is so shiny, it reflects a ton of light and it actually doesn't look like the one in the show. But I don't care because it looks awesome and it's on my refrigerator right now.
Oh, my gosh. Look at that. So that's interesting. So you cut it. So the aluminum bit is the actual symbol, but that insets in the brass. Oh, I want this so bad.
Right? Cutting out the two parts and then having them just sort of lock together. So satisfying.
All right. Well, that's a rad video you can look at now on YouTube or their site. So go to punishedprops.com or the YouTube video. It's called Star Trek Badges, done two ways.
Badges. And, we don't need no stinking badges.
Yeah, and in this case, I do want a stinking badge real bad.
Yeah, we'd need some stinking badges.
Those are very cool, Bill. So check those out. You always leave us a little bonus link before you leave. What do you got there, man?
You know it. This is a YouTube maker named Alexander Chappell. He is building or renovating an apartment in a 130-year-old Oslo, Norway building.
Oh, wow.
It's been really fun to follow. The video I linked is he's waterproofing his bathroom with some really cool new materials I've never heard of before for doing that kind of work. So if you're interested in home renovation, this build series is right up your alley. They've done so much to this apartment. It's amazing.
I just watched him tumble through a drywall.
Yeah. That was awesome. Is it weird that this kind of work makes me anxious? Because I feel like I'm the worst at it. And I watch him smiling and doing it and rocking it. And I'm just like, that is not me, man.
Some people are made for doing this sort of work. Some people aren't. There's nothing wrong with that.
My brother-in-law, Steve, is very good at this stuff. And I am the opposite. So when the zombies come, he'll save us all. And I will be good at hard drives or whatever the hell's going on. Bill, well done. Always good to have you here, man. And don't forget, punishprops.com is your destination, everybody. Also, Chinbeard on Twitter. Bill, have a great week. We'll see you next time.
You got it. See ya.
Bye, man. See you, Bill. Always good to talk to Bill.
Always. Yeah. Yes, it is.
Bill. All right. Bill. And if that wasn't enough for you, how about some scientific knowledge coming at you at warp speed? In order to enjoy that conversation, we have to play this a little intro here.
Science.
Yeah, that's right. Science with Bobby Frankenberger, who joins us all the way from South Carolina here in the United States of this USA. Hello. That doesn't make sense. Hey, Bobby, what's going on? Welcome.
This USA, not that one.
Not the other one.
Not the other one you guys are thinking about.
The deep American USA. South. Bobby, it's good to have you back. Of course, the one of the hosts of All Around Science, fantastic science podcast you should all be subscribed to, comes on Tuesdays and talks about scientific topics.
Yeah, you know what? You're right. You should be subscribed to All Around Science.
I agree. Sure. I am. I'm subscribed. Are you, people? Mm-hmm. Are you? All right. Well, if they're not, they will be after whatever magical thing you're going to tell us about today. What's going on out there?
Well, I thought we needed a bit of a COVID update. But before that, since everybody gets down about COVID updates, I thought I would tell you about a grad student at Rice University who made a like claw gripper arm out of a dead spider.
I saw this.
Oh god, yeah. Okay, the zombie spiders. Yes, great. Let's get this over with.
Here's the thing though, isn't it like I'm always annoyed by the articles about this because the actual thing is just inflating its joints with air or something.
Well, that's
right?
The cool thing about it to me is how it works, because so this grad student, Faye Yap at Rice University, just saw like a dead spider on the ground and saw it curl. Everybody's seen a dead I guess we should warn people who don't like spiders. Maybe you want to tune out.
Jump ahead a few minutes. Yeah.
My wife wanted nothing to do with the story when I told her about it. It freaked her out completely. So I feel you.
So, so you've seen dead spiders. They curl up, right? Mm-hmm.
They they fold their legs into the center of their body.
Yeah,
exactly. So this grad student, like a great science student, great sciencey person, doesn't just walk by this and then accept it. They say, "What? Why does that happen? Like that's strange. Why do all spiders do that?" So they investigated it and found out. So the legs of spiders, you and I, all of our appendages, we have a muscle set up that's it's called it's antagonistic muscle pairs. You've got one muscle that flexes and then one muscle that allows you to stretch your arm out,
like,
again,
like,
right?
Tricep bicep, right? Kind of like,
yeah, exactly,
that, mm-hmm. Yeah, front and back or whatever. Sure.
Spiders do not have this. Spider legs. And I imagine probably other arachnids and many insects also, maybe. They have just one muscle that is a flexor muscle that allows them to contract the leg, and they use hydraulic pressure of fluid movement inside their bodies to create pressure that causes them to be able to extend it again. Mm-hmm. And so there's a gland or an organ inside the spider which handles all this pressure. But when the spider's dead, it doesn't, it can't control that hydraulic pressure anymore. So the muscles just take over and just cause all the legs to curl up because that's all that they do. And so there
so
you
it's,
go.
Right. So it's almost like having like the, those, trying to think of an example, right? Where you basically, you can only pull from the inside to contract something as opposed to pulling from the outside to have it go open. Like those little giraffes where you push the button on the bottom of the
there
base.
There it is. And they That's go, it. Brr. That's it.
Yeah.
I was like, my head was swimming about what that reminded me of. And then you said it. That's it.
Yeah.
I hate those things. Where you squeeze them and they go.
Exactly.
But it's that idea, right? Like when you squeeze your hand, if you didn't have muscles to reopen your hand and you squeeze those tendons, now it forces your hand to do a thing. It's a bit like that, I guess. Mm-hmm. Right.
Right. Exactly. So.
That's wild.
Interesting. Never realized that, but that makes total sense as to why they curl up. It's just those little muscles going.
So they just stuck a syringe of air right into that gland that when it's alive does all the hydraulic pressure, and just applying a little bit of air into that gland sends the pressure into all the legs and allows it to open up and then close it.
Yeah, it's Satan's claw machine, really.
It really is. It's really creepy.
Especially
looking.
When you see the video. Yeah, it totally is.
It really is something. Now, let me ask you this. Like, from a practicality standpoint, what does this maybe give us? I mean, I understand it like helps us understand how it works, and they can lift so much more than their body weight and all that.
So they're claiming that this would be useful for what they call delicate pick and place microelectronics, but I don't know. I think maybe they're just doing something cool, and you kind of, if you want to research more, you have to convince people that it's worth researching, and so.
Yeah.
But there is a whole area of research into understanding natural engineering systems and natural ways that the natural world does all sorts of different things that we might just over-engineer, and figuring out how does it work in the world. You know, there's this whole soft robotics movement you might have heard of.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
If you've seen it in the news, you've seen it in the tube robots that they make that you can inflate with air and they can dig underground and they look like sandworms and stuff.
Sure.
But the point is
like, oh, that sounds terrible. Anyway,
it sounds horrible. I know. It's like, oh, I haven't heard of this, and maybe I was better off not hearing about this.
Dang.
The point is, they're very small robots. They're certainly not that big.
Okay. All right.
But the point is that
that's worse. Actually, now that I think about it,
don't worry about it. They can get under your house. They can go inside
fine. Don't worry about it, Brian. It's fine.
Totally
all right,
fine.
Yeah. Move on.
No issues.
The idea being that if we can take advantage of some of these nature-inspired systems, then maybe we can expand how we use robotics. Instead of, like, imagine what it would take to engineer a claw arm that does spider legs exactly the same way, but using all, you know, like metal and wires and all this kind of stuff. Is there a way that we can, you know, figure out how does the natural world do this, and is there a better way for us to do it?
Well, even science fiction has always, I think, presumed this idea that the more realistic, you know, that when you get to data versus some metal robot that's building cars, but you get to an actual fleshy humanoid type robot, that the way we get there, or even aliens, a good example, is with synthetic organics. They're not necessarily meant to match human organics, but they're like similar in the way that they work. There's tendons. They may be made out of some other material, and there may be a form of blood, but it comes out all like white paint or whatever in those original movies. I think that assumption's always been there. So now it just sounds like science is like, well, yeah, of course we got to start making, you know, rubber feet and stuff that isn't giant clomping metal chunks and things like that. Exactly. That makes sense.
Well, our technology is catching up and making it easier for us to do those
games. Yeah. Then they'll put the Dolly brain in there, the Dolly, not Mini, but the other one that's making insane, realistic AI pictures. They put that brain in there. and then this thing takes over
Dolly
and murders.
Yeah, the Dolly
this
thing Lama's brain in there?
Kills us all.
I thought you meant Dolly the sheep.
No, Dolly the D-A-L-E thing.
The AI painty thing comes up with what you describe in artwork form.
Yeah, and the real and not the mini one everyone's doing online, but the real one that you can't get into right now. That shit.
Then you could walk up to the robot, give it a phrase for inspiration, and it will invent a dance for you that
boom.
Oh, God.
Boom.
Yeah.
You've described everyone's nightmare. Well done. All right. Well, assuming we survive the next variation of a stupid virus, maybe we'll get there. But tell me about how that's going. Where are we at? What's the update?
Well, so there's not a lot of update for how the virus is going. We all know it's spreading. And it's spreading faster because of that BA5 that's going around. Yeah. And we know a lot about that. But I thought, I know I was wondering this. And then I saw an article that helped me understand what's going on. I kept wondering, you know, a little while ago, people 50 and up were able to get boosters over the summer, right? I don't know if didn't one or both of you guys get your boosters recently?
I did.
We both of us, yeah.
Hey, we got same day, didn't we? Or day apart?
We did get same day or day apart, but he got his shingles booster on the same day, which waylaid him.
Yeah, and the same arm. Oh my gosh, those bastards. They hurt so bad.
Yeah, it was very cute that you guys both got it on the same
day. I know. We were COVID twins. It was great.
COVID buddies.
I hope when we finally get COVID that we get it the same day. That'd be cool.
Oh, I do too. Then neither of us could hold it over the other one and say, me, you got it and I didn't.
Right. Plus if we
it's
need like
the 2022 version of two best friends getting pregnant at the same time.
That's right. That's right.
Kind of is, yes.
And in a way you are pregnant just with a virus. So
yeah, exactly.
But I thought, why isn't it? I thought we any day now we'd be getting that expanded up out to everybody being able to get their booster. I haven't been able to get my booster yet.
Right.
And I kept wondering, when is that going to happen? Any day now. And it turns out, according to I guess some sources who know, I saw this on a Ars Technica article. They're basically decided that the summer booster is not going to be opened up to the general public. And that they're going to wait until the fall to get everybody their boosters. And there's a lot of debate about whether or not, you know, experts are debating about whether or not this is a good idea and whatnot. But that's looks like what the decision is. The CDC and the FDA believe that this is the way to go, is to wait. And I thought it would be nice to say not only that so that people know, but also explain what their reasoning is behind that.
Yeah.
Which is that basically the idea is that in the fall, there will be, just like every fall with these endemic seasonal viruses, in the fall and winter, there's going to be another surge of whatever is out there. Mm-hmm. It's going to be the flu and this. It's just the way things go. And so the idea being, if we can wait until the fall to get everybody their booster, not only can it be closer to when the surge is going to be, but also the main reason they decided to go ahead and wait is because now they're going to be introducing a new next generation bivalent vaccine. Bivalent means that it's just got it's attacking two things at once. The flu vaccine, for example, is a multivalent vaccine. It attacks many strains of the flu all at once. So this would be the first bivalent vaccine that is designed to, or the first bivalent COVID vaccine.
Got it.
That is designed to target both the ancestral strain, which we talked about not too long ago, means you know the original strain, and the new BA4/5 variants that are going around right now.
Interesting.
So hopefully
it's still based
right
on
now
that,
there's
is it still based on that technology though, the mRNA?
Yes, it's still going to be an mRNA vaccine. It's not next generation in the sense that it's a new technology. It's just a next generation in the sense that it's going to be covering the current variants that are around right now, as well as the original one, because most of the vaccines that are out there are attacking the original one. Because COVID is, at its core, it's still COVID. It's still the same idea, and you can, and you still have some protection against it. It's just with these new vaccines, protection is waning because of how the virus is changing. So they want to update it, and that would be the idea.
They're gonna if it ever becomes endemic, they have to update it. Like we have to get ahead of it.
It's more or less endemic. There's nothing. I don't know if it's. I don't know if they've officially stamped it with the endemic seal yet, but it's endemic.
It's like the flu now, where we're gonna have to every year do there'll be a vaccine every year, and that makes sense to me. I feel like we're heading that way, right? Aren't we? We are. Yeah. Like every year,
you're gonna be getting this. The question is less about whether or not you're gonna be getting it every year, and more about are you gonna have to get it more than once in a year?
Oh, I see. Yeah,
we're still figuring that out. The virus is still changing all the time, and it may continue to change like this. And slowly, you're probably going to stop hearing about all the different variants, just like you don't hear about flu variants.
Yeah, it'll be, you know, those people in the early days were like, man, it's just like the flu. Well, now you're getting close to being correct, just in a way you weren't thinking. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, and because early on, it's very different from the flu in the fact that it's a different virus, but the reason those comparisons are so bad before is because we didn't know how to deal with it.
Yeah.
Like we knew how to deal with the flu.
Right.
But some of the debate that's going around, some of the other reasons that they have for wanting to wait is that basically, in the realm of public health, it can be confusing. You have to think about how the general population is going to receive the information that you give them, right?
Mm-hmm.
So some people are wondering, well, why don't we just offer up the current booster that's here now and then allow people to again get the booster in the fall? And that seems like a reasonable alternative. And some people, like everybody's favorite epidemiologist, Anthony Fauci, he thinks that that's the way that you should do it.
Everyone's favorite.
That we should be doing it.
Yeah, there are some people who would. Let's put it this way. I've heard. I know someone personally who said, if I could, I'd go to his house and murder him. So, that guy's. He's convinced.
He is no stranger to people hating him. You know, he's been around. This. I feel like this COVID thing is what everybody knows him for now. But his claim to fame was
AIDS,
having
right?
to deal with the HIV and AIDS epidemic.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, and there was a lot of hoo ha back then.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So he's no stranger to literally death threats.
Yeah,
because of the way that he's advised and handled those kinds of things. But,
sure.
But yeah, he thinks yes, we should go ahead and get it now because right now we're in the middle of a big surge. It's if you look at the transmissibility map on the CDC website, it's all red again.
Mm-hmm.
It's all high spread right now.
Yeah.
And so he thinks, well, while that's happening, we should go ahead and get them. But other people say, if we give people access to a vaccine now, if we tell them to go get their boosters now, and then in a couple of months, we tell them to go get their boosters again, it's going to cause confusion.
Sure.
Why are you telling me, you just told me to get it, and now you're telling me to get it again, and you might actually have less uptake of the booster in the long run. And that's what the FDA and CDC seem to think in terms of, you know, trying to analyze how people are going to react and respond to these types of messaging. Just wait,
mm-hmm.
get a better vaccine,
mm-hmm.
and give it to them then.
That's because we're simple-minded doughheads, and we don't.
I tend to lean that way, and what I think is probably the right way to go because of those reasons. But there are other people who think that, well, by the time we get there, some people are saying, well, there's no guarantee that the current BA4 and BA5 variants are even going to be like. If you're waiting because it's going to have the new variants protection in there, there's no guarantee that that'll be the dominant strain by then. We could have another variant by then, which is a valid concern.
It's true. I mean, at the rate they're going, it seems likely we'll have a new variant by then, right?
Like, yeah. Yeah. There's none on the map right now. There's none on the radar currently. And usually we have a little bit of a heads up before they start to get big. But we don't know. And that's another reason that some people are saying, let's just, with what we have now, just give people boosters now. because work with what we know and yeah. not take why take this gamble?
Sure. Do you think the recent, I know you've probably seen it, but there was this recent release of this massive study to try to finally get to the bottom of where did this thing originate? And they're like 99 point something percent sure that it was one of these wet market animal trade things.
Yeah.
I'm no PETA guy or anything. I'll eat a steak. Okay. But do you think this has any movement toward shutting that kind of stuff down? Not that we have, I don't mean we have the power to do that, but I mean, as a world, are we ready to go? Ooh, maybe those things aren't so great. Cause we got, you know, that's how bird flu kind of comes out of that stuff. Like shit jumps from animals to humans in these wet markets. Is there a way to shut that stuff down? And my guess is probably not. It's like too big of a deal or it's too hard to control or I don't know how that goes.
I think, and we're firmly in my opinion territory now. I think it's really easy for us in our particular US centric position and where we sit in the world economy to say, shut it all down because we don't rely on them as much.
Yeah.
But there are other places in the world which it's an ingrained part of their economy are these wet markets. They're very important culturally and economically. So I doubt that that's going to, I mean, it's raising awareness and maybe they'll, if I had to guess, the more likely thing is that there will be more of a focus on trying to make them safer and more sanitary.
Interesting. Okay.
But
that's a step in the right direction, right? Like it's not, it'd be great if you could just shut them down, but if they can't do that, if they can at least get some standards going or something.
Right.
I don't know what that would be.
Yeah, exactly. Because the open air markets are just, you know, they're already difficult to keep safe and sanitary and everything like that. So just, I don't know. I don't know much about it. So, but if I had to guess, I would say that that's more likely what's going to happen.
Down with wet markets, more dry markets.
More dry markets.
That's right. Get it dry, whatever you got to do. All right. Well, this is fascinating stuff as always.
The last thing I didn't mention is just real quick is that they're looking at, originally they were going to say an October, November rollout for these new vaccines that they're focused on now. Apparently, there are unnamed officials in the Biden administration who told some New York Times reporters that that companies are saying that they can probably get it out by September. But they're, you know, who knows what that look? They're unnamned officials. I don't know what that means.
Yeah,
but right.
It means probably
it's almost the equivalent of many people.
Yeah,
many people have told me.
Many people tell me. we need some hard sources on that. But
yeah.
If that's the case, that seems, I don't know. I'm all about get this stuff going, man. Let's go.
Yeah.
But I'm also the guy that says, you want to put
it. If it were just for me, I'd say, please, let me just go ahead and get the booster. Like that's what I want to do. But if I'm thinking about the population as a whole, it might be better to make the messaging less confusing.
Yeah. I agree with that.
Going into the fall.
Totally can see that.
Yeah. Give us some visuals showing the boom of everybody getting the vaccine at the same time and then the virus disappearing slowly.
Yeah, that'd be great. Right. Let's eradicate this shit. How about that?
Yeah.
I always hate that thing and I know it's true, but it's never possible because there's just no way at scale this works. But this idea that we're always 12 days away from that virus being gone forever.
Oh, really?
Okay. But it would
interesting.
But it would mean every single human being locks themselves in a room, doesn't do anything for 12 days, and truly does that, it goes away. You're done. Whoever had it, it's now through them and they're done. Anybody else, they don't have it, they're done. You're done. But we can never do it. Even you could say 30 days. Like, let's give us a little buffer space. We're always 30 days away. But try to get 8 billion people on board. Not going to freaking happen.
No.
Well, two things to say about that. First, if we can't convince of a fraction of 1% of the world's population to just end world hunger by giving away their money, I doubt we're going to convince everybody in the world to stay in their house.
Exactly. It's just not possible. Yeah. But isn't that annoying to know that, like,
can't get everybody in agreement on how to wear a mask?
Yeah. But the idea, the idea that it's just that it's that close, but we can't.
The second part is, and some people in the chat room are already saying it, is that there are animal reservoirs for these also. So,
well, yeah, but then, you know, there's a way. Technically, we just wipe out all the animals.
Yeah, just kill all the animals. Everybody stay inside for 2 weeks. You don't even have to watch the animals.
Yeah.
You'll be in your house.
I'm sure it won't mess with any key parts of the ecosystem or anything. Just wipe them all out.
No food chain issues. No, none of that.
Exactly. But it's just humanity at scale. It's impossible. It just this is just what it is, man.
Right.
I mean, in hell, somebody just got polio and got paralyzed the other day or whatever their deal is. And I'm like, polio? Oh, freaking.
Polio coming back in New York City is going to be a thing.
Yeah, because, it is a thing. And it's so annoying. Yeah. And why is it? Because some people decided not to get vaccinated.
Not just some people. Apparently, there's only like a 60% vaccination rate in New York right
for
now.
For polio?
Wow. For polio.
Wow. Jeez.
Man.
That's me remembering a headline that I saw, so nobody quote me on that. I don't know if that's those numbers are true. But
I got the polio shot, and I had a dream that I was Franklin Delano Roosevelt that night.
What was his name?
Yeah. Delano.
I mean, you both got it.
Delano. So. Oh, I'm thinking of Eleanor Roosevelt's what I'm doing.
Delanor.
Hey, Brian.
A little merging there. I like it of the names.
So. I just like the way you said it. You're like, Delanor? Like a question? That was great. All right. Well, there you have it. We'll talk more next week about other cool science stuff. But in the meantime, All Around Science is doing stuff. What's going on this week?
Well, this episode that just came out yesterday of All Around Science, we went deep into all that James Webb Space Telescope that I gave everybody a preview on last week, and we talked a lot about all the different things, some of the stuff we've seen in our solar system, planets we've seen in other solar systems, as well as like galaxies. There's a new one, even younger now, that I just saw yesterday. They found another one that's only 233 million years after the Big Bang. So it's just amazing. It's tons of cool stuff coming out of James Webb. All the time.
Yeah.
So check that out. All Around Science is the name of the podcast.
Nothing in that way. James Webb Telescope is actually anti-Semitic. Just the guy it's named after, everybody. Yeah. So the actual telescope freaking loves Jewish people, for real. Yeah. It's just the guy they're named after.
Really?
A little trouble.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know about anti-Semitic. You might be right about that, but I know he was also apparently... not really, didn't have some great views about sexuality and gender either.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, he's a turd. The web guy. He's long dead, right? He's not around anymore. Or is he?
Yeah, thank goodness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's a dead dude. Good. But, good. You know, guys of a certain generation.
Good. Yeah. Glad he's dead.
Good. I'm glad he's dead. Fine, we named a thing after him. Anyway, that's it. Hey, Bobby, have a great week. And, you know, it's my hope that between now and then you'll have some amazing new science to tell us about us next week. So be here.
You know it.
All right, man. We'll see you later.
Bye-bye.
Sweet. All right. That's it for the show. Quick note, tonight, 3:30 Mountain Time this afternoon, there will be a Play Retro episode of Play Retro. It's a podcast all about old video games. We're talking about the Strike series, like Desert Strike, Jungle Strike, the other ones whose names escape me at the moment.
Pizza Strike.
Pizza Strike.
Dining Strike.
Third Strike.
Angry Strike.
That was my least favorite Spice Girl. Glad they got rid of Angry Strike. Anyway, Strike Series is one of my all-time favorites. I played all the Genesis games back in the day. We're going to look at that series and what it brought to the future of games, because there's a lot that you don't know about that whole thing. So that's today, 3:30 Mountain Time, and wherever you get your podcasts if you can't watch live. Brian, you got anything today coming out, going on?
Happening? I don't. I think it's just me prepping for Coverville this week and maybe, you know, maybe putting on a little party hat and going out and doing some lifting. I won't put on a party hat. That's kind of silly, but...
you should do it. Wear your fez. No, do the fez. Not.
I don't want any... That's an area... You know, I love all you guys saying happy birthday and stuff. I don't want strangers.
Well, what if you wore the fez hat? Me. The fez hat would be cool, though.
That's true. I do have a good fez hat. Is it too tall for my car? Might be.
Oh,
I don't know.
I don't know either.
Boy, you get into a Lyft ride with a guy wearing a Bob Ross Hawaiian shirt and a fez hat. Are you going to just hop out immediately, or do you feel like you're going to get a good ride for your buck?
I feel like... You know what? I think I would
Let
be positive.
Let me sing you some of my original music.
I think I would be positive on that. If I saw somebody with a fez hat, I would actually go, no, this seems like a cool dude who's like having a good time with this job.
Okay. All right.
So I think I would actually not see that as a detriment. Maybe. Yeah. But maybe. We'll see.
In the meantime, check it out, everybody. If you go to patreon.com/TMS, you can sign up for a whole new month of TMS and do it for as low as $1 a month. That's patreon.com/TMS. You guys are amazing. If you're not already there, do consider it. It helps support your favorite morning show. Frogpants.com/TMS for everything else. And keep those emails rolling. themorningstream@gmail.com. We're out of here. There's nothing to do but play a song, I guess. So you have
all
one.
All we can do. Yeah. It's all we can do, Scott.
Yeah.
Hugh wrote in, said, "Hi, Scott and Brian. Here's an easy any day is fine request from me. I was watching guitar demo videos and came across this amazing band called Hot Crazy, who do a great cover of Wannabe that I think everyone, or that I think will appease Brian's inner Spice Girls fan." Oh, there's nothing inner about my Spice Girls fan. It is, oh. I wear that on my Bob Ross covered sleeve.
Yeah, it's an innie and an outie is that thing.
It's an innie and an outie.
Yeah.
It also rocks, so I think it'll appease everyone else too. This band is so great. It's totally worth checking out their other song, Manly in Heels. They deserve all the recognition. I'm not sure if they're indie. Don't know how to check, but if they are, that would be great. And in the middle track someday too. Thanks, signed, Hugh. It's my birthday, and I say it's time for a rockin' Spice Girls cover. This really does rock, and the video that goes along with it is 100 Shades of Crazy as well. This is a band called Hot Crazy. This is one of two singles they've released online. I want to see more from these guys. It's a cover of the Spice Girls' Wannabe.
Of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
Oh, that sucks.
Oh, that was me.